You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, your everything resource for the security industry. You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. I'm your host, Jeff Cole, and this is episode 17 for November 27, 2007. This week's edition features an interview with David Gorman, who is a loss prevention consultant and head of David Gorman Associates, which is a consultancy firm. David also was the head of Walmart's LP program for many, many years and really kind of put the ball rolling for that company. Our interview, it ranges from such topics as apprehension, pursuit of shoplifters, prosecution, parking lot security, surveillance, adoption of technologies, everything you can roll up into LP today. I really enjoyed this interview, and I hope you enjoy this subset, this clip of our interview, as much as I enjoyed speaking with David. Certainly a man of such great knowledge on LP, and I hope you can pick up a few jewels that he shared with me.
I liked what you were saying about having to go look for the tapes when you guys are investigating.
Yeah.
What was that like back then?
I mean, oh, it was,
that was before I came into the digital age in the industry. So,
yeah, it was time-consuming. Yeah. It was time-consuming, and you wasted an awful lot of time just looking without discovering. Mm-hmm. And so this is so much better. I mean, it's indescribable the benefit that that occurs today, because you're the alerts that you get tie you immediately back to where that video is. So there's no time spent trying to figure it out. It just pulls it up, and you get to see the event. You get to see what the concern was. Okay, yeah, I have a concern with what I see, or no, I don't. You move on.
Right. At the time, I guess you didn't know about the capabilities that could be in the future, but did you ever have moments you just worried, like, I don't have enough knowledge and information about what's happening in LP and security?
Well, no, I think to some extent you can get spoiled today because of how easy it is today to do things that took a long time before. But now, you know, 3 years from now, who knows what's going to be available. And we may look back on this time as being, golly, I can remember back when, oh, hell, it was a lot harder. So that's kind of an evolving thing. The key is that you work with what you have. You don't feel bad about it. You don't say, God, I wish we had something else. You work with what you got. If it takes you 8 hours to look through a tape, somebody looks through the tape for 8 hours. But the bottom line is you solve the problem.
Yeah. When you were at Walmart, did they differentiate between security management and loss prevention?
We really didn't have a security management thing.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
it was
we had buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had buildings that were secure, mm-hmm. and, you know, they weren't open to the public, and you had controls, access controls, to get people in and out of those buildings who belonged there. But so you dealt with those individual circumstances, but most of your buildings, all the stores, of course, you're holding the door open for people. You want them to come in. Please come in here and spend your money.
Well, and obviously Walmart, one of the first retailers that was known for doing 24-hour stores.
Yeah.
What did that? You were there when that started, right? Mm-hmm. What did that? Was that a little bit of a nightmare at first?
No, I mean, you know, you when we first went to that, of course, there was some level of concern, you know, that, well, gosh, what's going to happen at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? But realistically, of course, we were opening a lot of super centers at that time, so we were gaining experience in that. And basically, we did a few things, made sure that we, you know, had the proper lighting on the parking lot so people would feel safe when they went into the store. It wasn't dark outside. And we did some additional things over time. But basically, we never really, it wasn't like, oh my God, now we've got this happen and that happen. You know, you say, well, probably got more shoplifting going on at night, because it certainly would be easier to do it with the few associates that are in the store. But the reality is, those things are going to occur, and we didn't really feel like, you know, that was, we had a crime wave going on just because our stores were open 24 hours.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Because I've been in your stores late, and there's plenty of staff. They just are not, they're stocking, but they're still moving around.
It's they're out there.
Yeah.
And you have some people that is their job to stock, you know. And their job is not necessarily to wait on customers, although they get stopped and people say, can you tell me where this is? But their job really is to stock the shelves. But you've got cashiers, you've got everybody in the store, you've got management. And so we didn't really, to answer your question, I guess, we really didn't have that defining moment where we said, oh my God, okay, now we've really got problems. It never occurred for us.
You talked about, you know, you have people who were, your job is to stock, mm-hmm. your job is to cashier. How much training in terms of shrink prevention does everyone get, and should every employee get? Should you distribute that sort of shrink blocking potential to the employees and let them be that front line of LP, really?
Realistically, your training when somebody new comes on really evolves around how important the customers are to the business, and that no matter what your job is, your first job is to take care of the customers and make sure they have a good shopping experience, so that the next time they have to go to a store, they're going to think, well, I really like to go to Walmart because they're always friendly and they're always helpful and all of that. But you also talk to them about the fact that people will steal from the company, and that there are things that they as individuals, we certainly don't expect them to stop somebody and accuse them. We don't want them to accuse somebody of stealing. But if they think there's something going on, they, number one, should tell a member of management, say, you know, I think I've got a problem here. The second thing you do is you just give that person a lot of attention. And if they're a good customer that is just acting strange, they will appreciate the fact that you offer to give them help, whether they needed it or not. They appreciate, oh, well, thanks. No, I don't need any help. I appreciate it, though. If it's somebody who came in there to steal, they won't appreciate being recognized. They won't appreciate being talked to. They don't want to be remembered. And the likelihood is that simple act will cause them to leave.
Absolutely.
And, the other simple things you can do. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to be friendly, and it's a positive experience for a good customer. It's a negative experience for the person that you want to chase away anyway.
Sure.
The other thing you can do is, there's these false security calls where you say, security area B, you know, with the intercom. Well, there is no area B. But if I'm stealing from the company, I might worry that area B is right where I'm at. And why are they calling security to where I'm at? Unless they just saw what I did. So it has no meaning, and everybody ignores it in the store because there is no area B. But if you're a shoplifter, it can cause you to say, wait a minute. You know, they got security in the store. Where's area B? Are they coming to see me? And it's a simple, simple little thing that doesn't cost you a dime.
And they don't know whether it's, you know, real or not. I mean, they obviously know that you're watching them, or you're knowing that something's going on, which is the beyond where they wanted to be.
Yeah, the key is not to say security to sporting goods.
Right.
So because there is a sporting goods.
Ah, okay. So don't define.
There really is a sporting goods.
Yeah.
And number one, you don't want me to think that all the security is over in sporting goods when I'm in domestic stealing something. That's
right.
Number one. Number two, there may be one customer in sporting goods, and they're totally honest, but they look around and they say, well, why would they be sending security to the one department where I'm the only person in here? Do they think I'm stealing? So you know, it has a very negative effect if you do it wrong. But if you just say area B or area Y or X, Y, and Z, it doesn't really matter.
Sure, you don't want to drive away the guy who's just there to get the badminton.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, a lot of things have changed in LP over the years. Prosecution, you mentioned, has gone down. Tell me a bit about what's happening in the mindset of apprehensions and prosecutions, and do you agree with what's happening out there?
Well, I think that you have to address the big issues, while at the same time, I don't have a concern about the fact that, you know, companies try to avoid every, you know, prosecuting every shoplifter they catch. I understand the reasoning behind that. It's not just, as I said in my talk, it's not just about the fact that it costs you money, because somebody, whoever caught that shoplifter, has got to go to court and take time to sit there and give their testimony, and it is time consuming for them. It is also time consuming for local law enforcement. So if you have a scenario where a store is catching a lot of shoplifters and law enforcement has to respond to every one, you know, that begins to have an effect on their availability of officers. And do they have to work people overtime because there's a traffic accident over here and the only officer you have on duty is at the Walmart store? So, I mean, I understand why it's important to do that differently. It's just that when I was there, the corporate policy was that you prosecuted every shoplifter you could, and not everyone, you couldn't everyone. But or you didn't want to everyone. If, let's say, they were elderly or they were a child, you know, there's age brackets. But everybody that we caught shoplifting that we could prosecute made sense to, we did. But again, I'm not saying that was the right approach, and they've obviously changed it. And Target has had that policy for a lot of years that they only prosecute the more serious cases.
Right, and I've heard, you know, Target probation staff, you know.
Yeah, and they got
with it a little bit.
Well, yeah, but they've got a good program, and their program works. I mean, they have good shrinkage performance, and so, you know, you can't argue with success.
In terms of the LP staff, there have been also some different, you know, changes over time in policy. Pursue or don't pursue.
Yeah.
And how do you pursue if it, you know, exits the building? And
yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well,
on that?
See, now we never had a policy that you pursue.
Okay.
That's dangerous to do that.
Sure.
Our policy was you don't leave the sidewalk.
Okay.
If they run off, they run off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the merchandise. It's about protecting the person. It's dangerous for the shoplifter to run. If people have been run over in streets because they tried to get away, it's not about that. It's not about the fact that they might be armed and turn around and stab our person or shoot them. So if they will come back into the store and it's somebody you want to come back in, you know, they've stolen something that you're going to prosecute, then and they'll come back in peacefully into the store, then that's what you do. But you never chase anybody. The idea again is not to leave the sidewalk. If you have to leave the sidewalk, then you're doing the wrong thing.
And I know some LP officers will want to chase, but what would you say to them?
It's not up to them.
Yeah.
You say you don't do that. You follow this rule, or you're not going to work for us. Mm-hmm. Because whose fault is it going to be if they get hurt? It's not going to be their fault. They're going to say, "Well, gosh, I was just trying to protect the store." And so sometimes, even though they are trying to do the right thing, you have to say, no, you don't do that. That is not the right thing. It's not what we want you to do. And if you do that, we're going to have to take aggressive action against you.
The point is, I guess, it's not about being hard on a potential or suspected criminal. It's about doing what the company needs is in terms of operations.
The reality is that person who had to run off, who had to run through the parking lot, they're going to remember the fact that they damn near got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they might have gotten away with the merchandise that day, the likelihood is they're not going to want to come back anymore, because now you know what they look like.
Yeah. David, let's talk about parking lots. Because parking lot security came up this year. There was an abduction in, what, Missouri, I believe it was? Not a Walmart, but at another retailer. And parking lot security seems to be a little bit on the, more sensitive side these days in terms of how people look at parking lots, or especially as, you know, you bring everyone in society to the stores, you know, whatever store you have, you're not close to certain people. And if you bring the public, you're going to bring parts of the public that you don't want. You know, it's just part of reality, I guess, in retail these days. What are your thoughts and trends that you see happening in parking lot security and surveillance of parking lots? And
I think what you'll see is a lot of companies have gone to having parking lot camera systems, very simple to do. I mentioned about the lighting, I think, earlier. You want to make sure that you have good lighting on your lot at night. Some localities restrict how bright that lighting can be, but it's very rare. Usually they don't care. You can light it up like a football stadium and it's okay with them. And so you want to have good lighting. You want to have, you don't want the cameras to be stealth in any way. You want them to be very visible. You want to have signing. If you have cameras that are actually videotaping, you want to say so. You want to have signing up that says, for your security, we videotape this parking lot 24 hours a day. And you want to really do that. If you say it, you better be doing it. But realistically, even the traffic that comes into your store is a deterrent to crime on a parking lot. Just people walking in, your customers. In Walmart's case, they probably get 120 million shoppers in their stores every week. That's a lot of people walking in and out of the store. And those people have eyes, you know, they see what's going on. If they hear somebody screaming, they're going to look over that direction. You'll sometimes get situations that occur, but if you think about whether, no matter what the retailer is, that exposure exists, but and there's some things that you want to do to try and deter it from happening. But if somebody is wanting to steal a car or whatever it is, and they don't care that you've got cameras or any of that, they're going to steal a car. And you just have to say that's one of those things that happens. But when you've got 120 million customers a week, I don't know how many countrywide with all the retailers, the incidents that you hear about, and they're all regrettable and they're all a shame, but what percentage of the total shoppers that go in and out of stores every week, what percentage of those are actually harmed in any way?
Yeah.
Or even their cars being stolen? It's a very small percentage, and I don't know, other than the things I mentioned, you know, there's no guarantees that you can put out there. No matter if you have police at the front door, there's no guarantee that something's not going to happen.
And at Walmart, I'm guessing this was probably from Sam, made the parking lots open for people traveling with RVs to park, and, you know, was that a, you know, how did that have to security? I guess it did at some level, but not really? Or?
No. I mean, you know, these are good people. These are good people. They're retired people.
Usually retirees, yeah.
And we never really encouraged that. What we did was not say they could not.
Okay.
Yeah. And we actually, we had campgrounds, you know, that had these people park there and charge them for it and earn their living that way. Those people would get mad at us. They'd say, well, you shouldn't be letting these people park on your lot. And they would call us and want us to tell people that they couldn't park on the lots. And we wouldn't do it. The only thing that we were kind of strict about was over the road, you know, big truck rigs parked on the lots, because we had somewhat of a concern of, well, the amount of space, of course, that they were taking away from the other customers, but also the safety factor involved in that. So we really tried to control that part, but we really never had a problem with that. But the other people who happen to be driving around the country and they choose to park for the night on our lot, that's okay with us.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was at that time anyway when I was there.
Seems to still be, you know, judging by. You know, there's lots of, you know, simple things that seem to, a retailer can do to improve, you know, or decrease shrink, improve, you know, their loss prevention methods. And you know, I think, you know, think of like you know, greeting every customer as they come in. And,
Greeters, the people greeters are really
important. And I guess I see in Walmart's where you have the super centers where you have multiple entrances, so they they'll shut one down after maybe 10, 11, midnight, and that not only saves the air conditioning going out, but it also makes it easier. Yeah, focus the cash registers, but also for loss prevention checking.
It's just smart. Yeah. It's just smart all the way around because you don't have to staff that side of the building. I mean, you don't have to staff that exit door, and you really help deter again criminal elements because now you're kind of funneling everybody.
One less exit.
Yeah, yeah. You're funneling everybody in and out of one exit where you can have staff. Situated people greeters there, and so even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, that one entrance looks like a normal Walmart entrance.
Sure,
it's lit. You've got your PBM up there that people see themselves on when they come through. So it's just normal business.
Yeah, that seemed to be something that Walmart developed, really kind of created in the industry. As far as that process of shifting to one door after a certain hour.
That was, again, just common sense. It was common sense because, how many people do you really have coming in and out? If you go by a Walmart supercenter in the middle of the night, you'll see the cars all parked around that entrance.
Sure.
And so it just made a lot of sense. It wasn't done because of concerns over security. It was done to make a better and easier way for people to park. They're going to, generally people, especially in the middle of the night, they're going to want to park someplace close to the store, and they're going to want to come out that same entrance they went into.
Sure.
And so there's not so many cars on the parking lot in the middle of the night that you can't afford to channel them all to one entrance.
Right. Are there other simple things like that that you think of that you would tell maybe smaller retailers that, think about things like this that can not only improve your business but also improve your security?
Well, I just think that, some of the things that don't cost anything, like the aggressive hospitality that we've talked about, the false security calls, or come to Area B, all of those things are things I think that cause people to feel more safe in your store, or there's security here, and generally there always is somebody, even if it's a member of management, who can respond to a security threat and are trained to do that. I think that basically if you're a small store like a 7-Eleven store, they have processes in place. Even if they're open all night, they have processes in place where they try and make not just the customers but the people who work there feel safe.
Sure. I know a lot of those are trying to put two staffers there. It's a simple thing if they can afford it.
Because
it seems to be the...
I think that's justified. It's justified in particular areas. Yeah. If you're in an area that's tough, that is difficult, especially at night, then you want to take extra measures to make everybody feel safe. But most of the time, that's not necessary.
Again, that was David Gorman of David Gorman Associates. If you want more information about David Gorman or want to contact him, go to his website at www.davidgorman.org. He's based in Florida, and he had 21 years again at Walmart as Director of Internal Audit and Vice President of Loss Prevention, Risk Control, and Quality Assurance, of course, before founding David Gorman Associates. Great guy, and we really appreciate David coming on the program and sharing some very interesting insights about loss prevention. ¶¶